From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. Tunisian Ambassador Riyad Dridi discloses Indonesia and Tunisia could cooperate through football. Indonesia is confident to offer local films to the world. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and Tunisia have strong bilateral cooperation. Both countries keep their commitment to continuously strengthen the relations. Even they can cooperate in the field of sport. This was conveyed by Tunisian Ambassador to Indonesia, Riyad Dridi, at the special interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday. By having a good history of bilateral relations, Ambassador Riyad Dridi pointed out that both countries are able to develop potential cooperation in the future.
So since Tunisia has experience in football and qualification to the World Cup, we can collaborate more, you know, to, for example, exchange experiences or training of players, or maybe one day we can see, you know, Tunisia and Indonesia team, you know, playing a football game, you know. So there are a lot of perspective in cooperation.
Moreover, the ambassador further said that trade has become the main focus of the cooperation of both countries. Therefore, the opportunity must be used well to boost economic cooperation. Director of Film, Music and Media at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Ahmad Mahendra, said that the Indonesian government is very confident in bringing together young Indonesian filmmakers with a number of foreign investors in the film sector. He conveyed it after attending the launch of Project Market Indonesian Film 2022 in Jakarta on Friday. The Indonesian Film 2022 Market Project is a series of the Indonesian Film 2022 program. This activity brings together a number of the best film scenario projects with a number of investors, both domestic and foreign. Ahmad Mahendra further stated that with the existence of Indonesian Film 2022, Indonesia has a number of the best film scripts that have gone through a selection process for 1 year to be offered to investors.
Oh, sangat percaya diri karena
it's very confident because this is an incubation, a process. There are research, workshop, and training. It was also mentored by world-class Oscar winners Tom Abram and Sin, who are indeed Hollywood. Actually, this program is very profitable for investors because they don't need to spend money on research. for the preparation of the manuscript. It has been taken over by the state without intervening. It's really purely from an idea developed by the author, who has owned system following the flow of the industry. Moreover, Ahmad Mahendra added that currently stories that offer local wisdom from Indonesia are gaining a lot of appreciation from the global community. A number of Indonesian films that have received appreciation at the global level include Dendam, Rindu Harus Dibayar Tuntas, Yuni, and Before, Now and Then, Nana. Directorate of Film, Music and Media and Directorate General of Culture at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology held the 2022 Indonesian Film Market Project in Jakarta on Friday. This activity is a series of the Indonesian Film 2022 program which will be held in Jakarta offline. Director General of Culture at the Ministry, Hilmar Farid, in his remarks said that the 2022 Indonesian Film Market Project aims to provide a space for Indonesian film participants to meet and establish communication with potential investors. He also stated that the 2022 Indonesian Film Market Project is an opportunity for investors to get quality works with strong local wisdom values.
Project Market Indonesia Film ini kami hadirkan
at the Indonesian Film 2022 Project Market. We present selected projects and they are the result of film screenplay writing and film production workshop with screenwriting professor tutors from the University of Southern California, as well as research persons and mentors who are well-known filmmakers in Indonesia. It's a great opportunity for investors to get quality stories with strong localized values. Hopefully, we can all establish communication, work together, and realize the development of a better film ecosystem in Indonesia. Besides, the 2022 Indonesian Film Market Project presents 9 selected projects. These are the result of a screenplay writing and film production workshop with tutors Tom Abrams and Sin Hood. Both are professors of screenwriting at the University of Southern California. Through the Indonesian Film Market Project, the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology is trying to realize the creation of a better film ecosystem development in Indonesia. 6 local reporter organizations have called for a meeting with South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol to discuss the row between the presidential office and the press community over NBC's coverage of the president. Heads of the group, including the Journalists Association of Korea and Korea Broadcasting Journalists Association, submitted a written request to the presidential office on Friday for a meeting with President Yoon in a bid to find a solution through lively debate and frank exchange of opinions. Regarding the presidential office's decision to ban NBC reporters from boarding the presidential plane during a state tour of Southeast Asia earlier this month, they called on President Yoon to refrain from solely relying on the opinions of his aides, claiming that the latter were only trying to turn the matter into a partisan issue. The teenage shooter who attacked 2 schools in the Brazilian city of Aracruz in the state of Espírito Santo, resulting in the death of 3 people, has been arrested. Espírito Santo Governor Renato Casagrande wrote on Twitter on Friday. According to local media report on Friday morning, a 16-year-old rushed into a staff room in a state school and killed 2 teachers, then jumped into a car and headed to a private school on the same avenue, where he killed a student. Apart from the three dead, 11 other people were also injured in the shootings, according to a local media report. The shooter was reportedly a student at one of the schools. The participants in the talks between the Colombian authorities and the radical left-wing armed group National Liberation Army, or ELN, have called on Brazil, Chile, and Mexico to act as guarantors of the agreements. At the same time, Germany, Sweden, Switzerland, and Spain have been invited to accompany the negotiation process, according to a statement from the participants in the talks read out on Friday at a press conference in Venezuelan capital of Caracas. ELN is Colombia's second largest rebel group after the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC. The Colombian government and several other countries and organizations, including the United States and the European Union, have designated ELN as a terrorist organization. Well, listener, that's Newsline.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Diplomatic Corner highlighting Ambassador Dindin Wahyudin offers transportation and agriculture cooperation in Mali. Indonesian Ambassador to Mali, Dindin Wahyudin, has said the government of Indonesia offers transportation and agriculture cooperation to the government of Mali. The offer was conveyed by Ambassador Dindin Wahyudin while handing over a letter of credential to President of Transition of Colonel Asimi Goita in Bamako on Tuesday. The Indonesian Embassy in Dakar, in its information on Thursday, mentioned that in the meeting, Ambassador Dindin Wahyudin expressed Indonesia's readiness to strengthen bilateral relations and cooperation with Mali, especially in the field of transportation and communication, infrastructure, as well as agricultural mechanization. He also shared information about Indonesia's capabilities and experience in exporting CN-235220 aircraft and various other means of transportation that attracted the attention of President Goita. After submitting the credentials, the ambassador separately held a meeting with Malian Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure, Dembele Madina Sissoko, to discuss the potential for cooperation in the field of transportation. On the occasion, Ambassador Didin also conveyed the advantages of a number of Indonesian products that have been used in various countries such as CN-235-222 aircraft, trains, and electric motors. Moreover, he also offered technical training cooperation. In response to the offer, Minister Dembele Madina Sissoko also expressed interest in realizing the cooperation plan and will map it out in advance according to Mali's current capabilities and priorities. Previously, on November 21st, the Indonesian ambassador met the Secretary General of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation of Mali, Abdoulaye Tonkara. Both of them shared views on efforts to strengthen bilateral cooperation in various fields, including visa-free agreements for diplomatic and service passport holders and efforts to facilitate business-to-business cooperation of both countries. Mali is a landlocked country located in West Africa, and it is an accredited country of the Indonesian Embassy in Dakar. The diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Mali have been established since 1965. The trade value of both countries reached $29 million in 2021. Currently, Mali is in need of infrastructure development to support economic activities. In addition, Mali is focusing on cooperation in agriculture for food security. Its mining products such as gold, cotton, and fertilizer contribute a lot in driving the economic growth of Mali. Well, listener, that was Diplomatic Corner from Voice of Indonesia. This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on November 26, 1990. After ruling for more than 30 years, Lee Kuan Yew was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. Lee Kuan Yew, Prime Minister of Singapore from 1959 to 1990. In 1954, Lee and a group of educated people in the UK formed the People's Action Party to push the establishment of a sovereign government in Singapore so that British colonialism could end its colonialism. 5 years later, in 1959, Lee was elected as Singapore's first Prime Minister, replacing former Singapore Chief Minister David Saul Marshall. On November 26, 1990, Lee Kuan Yew was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. During Goh Chok Tong's reign, Lee served as Senior Minister. Now let's move to an event on November 26, 2011, the Kutai Kartanegara Bridge in East Kalimantan collapsed. Kutai Kartanegara Bridge is a bridge which crosses over the Mahakam River and it's the longest suspension bridge in Indonesia. Overall, the length of the bridge reaches 710 meters, with a free span or hanging area without supports reaching 270 meters. This bridge is a means of connecting Tenggarong City and Tenggarong Seberang Sub-District, which heads to Samarinda City. The construction of the bridge began in 1995 and was completed in 2001. On November 26, 2011, the Kutai Kartanegara Bridge collapsed. Dozens of vehicles on the bridge plunged into the Mahakam River, which resulted in 21 deaths and dozens of injuries. We end today in history with the event of November 26, 2004, when an earthquake hit Nabire. The 2004 Nabire earthquake was an earthquake measuring 7.2 on the Richter scale that rocked Nabire in Papua on November 26, 2004. This disaster was the second earthquake to hit Nabire in 2004. Previously, Nabire had experienced the same thing in February. More than 32 people were reported killed and 130 to 213 people were injured, and at least 178 residents' houses were burned as well as 150 other houses collapsed as a result of the earthquake. Then this earthquake also caused the whole city to be paralyzed due to electricity and telephone connections entirely cut off. Nabire Airport and the Sea Dock were also damaged. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia Today is on significant role of micro, small and medium enterprises economic strategy to make Indonesia global halal hub in 2024. The positive trend of Indonesia's economic growth, which continues in the third quarter of 2022, shows the stretching of national economic productivity, which has improved since the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the factors that supports this economic growth is the development of halal industrial areas in Indonesia, which continue to be encouraged by creating the right halal ecosystem from upstream to downstream. President Joko Widodo has also mandated to strengthen various efforts in making Indonesia a global halal hub in 2024. The vision of making Indonesia a global halal hub in 2024 is manifested in a number of policies that support the acceleration of the development of halal industrial estate in Indonesia. Until now, there have been several halal industrial estates granted the business permits, such as Halal Modern Valley in Banten, Safelock Halal Industrial Park in East Java, and Bintan Inti Halal Hub in Riau Islands. Indonesia currently occupies the fourth position in the Global Islamic Economy Indicator in the State of the Global Islamic Economy Report. This position is also supported by Indonesia's good performance, which ranks in the top 10 countries in several halal economic sectors, such as the food sector, Islamic finance, pharmaceutical and cosmetics, as well as fashions. Speaking virtually at the opening of the 9th Islamic Cooperation Organization Halal Expo and World Halal Summit in Istanbul, Turkey on Thursday, November the 24th, Coordinating Minister Erlangga explained that to realize Indonesia's vision of becoming a global halal hub in 2024, the role of micro, small, and medium enterprises and strategic economic areas in Indonesia is very significant. Increasing the halal lifestyle in Indonesia creates a good market at the domestic level, coupled with ease of doing business in strategic economic zones, making it easier to access global markets. Furthermore, he also conveyed the importance of collaboration at the regional level among member countries of the Islamic Cooperation Organization, OIC, especially with the Turkey Republic. That was my Indonesia Today.
Metanoia jadi gol. Sewaktu tertidur di hujan peluru, bertubi-tubi rasa salah dosa memburu. Di tengah gemuruh ombak menerpa, ku putuskan berlutut lalu rebah. Kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah, segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah. Hey, let's go. Over. That's why I'm grateful. Grace overwhelming, my God is able to transform me like Optimus Prime. What? There is no turning back again this time. Yes.
Kau berikan asa
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Rujak Bulung. Rujak is one of the salad dishes that is familiar to Indonesians. It has various kinds and flavors. Usually, it is made from mixture of various kinds of vegetables or fruits, and it is added with some spices or spicy liquid gravy. Rujak can be found in almost every region in Indonesia. For instance, in Bali, you will find two types of rujak that have the distinctive from Bali. The names are rujak kuah pindang and rujak bulung. At this moment, we would like to introduce you one of the Balinese rujaks, rujak bulung. Listener, rujak bulung is different from rujak in general, which is made from vegetables or fruits. Rujak bulung uses seaweed as its ingredient. Seaweeds are marine plants that are widely used by Balinese to prepare delicious dishes. The ingredient of rujak bulung consists of two types of seaweeds, namely white and green seaweed, fried soybeans, and grated coconut. Then it is poured with pindang fluid gravy. The rujak bulung seasoning is made from pindang fluid gravy. The fluid gravy can be made from several types of fish, such as tuna or sardines. The taste is absolutely spicy, fresh, and delicious. Listener, besides being delicious, rujak bulung is also good for health because the main ingredient is seaweed mixed with pindang fluid gravy. This rujak is believed to prevent osteoporosis, premature aging, high blood pressure, and cancer. In Bali, this rujak is easy to find in traditional Balinese markets. Rujak bulung is also very affordable and quite cheap. It is usually cost from 6,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah per serving. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder.
What you really need. Say it back to me in the end. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listeners, the Indonesian government is in an effort to build sustainable tourism. In campaigning for this, the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is holding Earth Festival 2022. It takes place at Senayan Park, Jakarta on November 26 to the 27, 2022, which invites the public to increase awareness for the Earth and environmental sustainability. Earth Festival 2022 is filled with various talk shows presenting various speakers as well as an Earthterium, which is an art installation with the theme of ocean cleanliness and health. There will also be a special food festival, namely the Vegan Food Festival. Deputy Region of Belitung as well as advisor to Earth Festival Indonesia 2022, Ishak Meirobi, who was present virtually, explained, "This year's Earth Festival presents new things that will make this event more varied as a wider tourism event and involve the community to love the environment." According to Ishak Meirobi, the Earth Festival is in line with the G20 declaration, which includes inclusive, sustainable development and a green transition. He further explained that this Earth Festival is a very concrete implementation, real action, commitment, consistency, how to stimulate the tourism economy and creative economy in a more real way. Earth Festival 2022 will be a means of education for the younger generation because there are so many young people who still don't fully understand how to take good care of the Earth. It is hoped that Earth Festival Indonesia can boost tourism and stimulate the creative economy in Indonesia, especially in increasing public awareness of the importance of protecting and preserving the environment and culture. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a song entitled Tiba Tiba, meaning All of Sudden. The keroncong song is sung by Queen Salman. Queen Salman's inspiration to compose this song started from the story about the child's anger of her age. She sometimes get annoyed or cranky. Then she is asleep and suddenly she dreamed of meeting a kind fairy that inspired her to forget her annoyance. Afterwards, she wake up happily to welcome a new day full of enthusiasm and hope. Alright, listener, this is the keroncong version of Tiba Tiba by Queen Salman featuring 5in. Happy listening!
Kisah ini
Voice of Indonesia.
Bisa menyentuh cintamu seiring jejak kakiku bergetar. Aku telah terpagut oleh cintamu, menelusup hariku dengan harapan. Namun kau masih terdiam membisu. Sepenuhnya aku ingin memelukmu, mendekap penuh harapan untuk mencintaimu. Setulusnya aku akan terus menunggu, menanti sebuah jalan. Betapa pilunya rindu menusuk jiwaku. Semoga kau tahu isi hatiku. Dan seiring waktu yang terus berputar, aku masih terhanyut dalam mimpiku. Sepenuhnya aku ingin memelukmu, mendekat penuh harapan untuk mencintaimu. Setulusnya aku akan terus menunggu, menanti sebuah jawaban. Bisa luluhkan hatimu, dan aku tak bisa menyentuh cintamu.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.
Thank you.